Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. Now a tropical depression, Bill continues to lumber northeastward through Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. Bill came ashore in Louisiana yesterday, spawning at least two tornadoes. One of them ripped through the town of Reserve, about 40 miles outside New Orleans, where 20 mobile homes and a school gym were destroyed. Four people were hurt. There's been another day of bloody violence in Iraq. Six American soldiers were wounded in two separate attacks in Baghdad, while eight Iraqis were killed in an explosion in Fallujah. Three American soldiers were wounded when a homemade bomb exploded next to their vehicle at the University of Baghdad. Three others were wounded in two separate grenade attacks. Bishop Sean Patrick O'Malley of Palm Beach, Florida, has been named by Pope John Paul II as the new Archbishop of Boston. He succeeds Cardinal Bernard Law, who resigned in disgrace at the height of his sex abuse scandal involving priests and children. Lawyers for alleged victims say O'Malley has a great deal of experience in working with parishes where sex abuse has been a problem. North Korea plans to develop nuclear warheads small enough to fit on a missile that could hit Tokyo. That's the view of CIA officials, according to the New York Times. Laura Iyama has more.
The CIA believes North Korea has a testing site that enables Pyongyang to develop light nuclear warheads to fit on top of its long-range missiles that can reach Japan. That's from the New York Times. The analysts estimate in their best guess that North Korea could develop such a weapon in a year. This comes as the Bush administration is trying to persuade South Korea and China that North Korea's nuclear program presents a threat to other nations. The New York Times notes that U.S. intelligence is widely viewed with skepticism in view of the failure to find Iraq's illegal weapons. Laura Iyama, Washington.
On Wall Street this hour, the Dow is down 81 points, NASDAQ down 19, and the S&P down 10 points.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief. Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue. Without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
A police informant in Texas says missing Baylor University basketball player Patrick Dennehy may have been murdered by his roommate. Dennehy had been missing for 3 weeks. According to court documents, the informant says Carlton Dotson shot Dennehy in the head during an argument. So far, though, there's been no sign of either Dennehy or Dotson. Deputy Owen Hall is lucky to be alive. The Orange County, California sheriff's deputy was working at a traffic stop when he was shot in the leg with a high-powered arrow. A sheriff's spokesman said that if the arrow had hit Hall in the torso, he'd probably be dead. One suspect has been arrested and is now being held on $1 million bond.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The U.S. is threatening to cut off military aid to nearly three dozen nations because they are refusing to give Americans immunity from prosecution by the International Criminal Court. Laura Yama reports.
The International Criminal Court, which deals with war crimes, opened last year without the U.S. signing on. The Bush administration has been seeking pledges from 180 nations to grant immunity to U.S. citizens, arguing Americans could be targets of politically motivated prosecutions. 35 nations have yet to sign waivers. The U.S. State Department has said officials are planning to look over U.S. military aid programs and decide which nations that have failed to sign an immunity pledge are sufficiently important to U.S. interests to keep the U.S. military aid. Laura Iyama, Washington.
And in New York, the lights will dim on Broadway at 8 Eastern time tonight in memory of beloved film star Katharine Hepburn. The four-time Oscar winner died at her home in Connecticut on Sunday. She was 96. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Clippity-clop, clippity-clop. Does your car sound like the Clydesdales in Fast Forward? The problem could be unhealthy joints. No, not the horses, your cars. When we come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first until we tested 6 Tornado units. And in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today. Or visit TornadoAir.com. That clacking could be a sign of old age in your car's CV or constant velocity joints. These flexible joints allow drive shafts and axles to steer cars smoothly. But if they don't function properly, axles could freeze up or even fall off. How do you recognize faulty CV joints? Popping and clicking when turning and clunking when accelerating are classic signs. And if you can create these noises by putting your car in reverse and backing in a circle, your CV joints are really aching. So communicate these symptoms to your technician. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome to our program today, broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, coast to coast, border to border, on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from the depths of outer space on the Sirius Radio Satellite Network. A satellite beaming down to Ford, Chrysler, BMW, Mercedes, Volvo, Mazda, Land Rover, Dodge, Jeep, Mini, Volkswagen, Audi, Nissan, Infiniti, and Jaguar automobiles. This is a new car radio standard equipment, all these contraptions. And streaming live on the internet from radiopower.org and ieamericaradio.com with archives at whiterosesociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. In this first hour, we're going to ask, is the Gray Davis recall in California another Republican effort to subvert democracy? Now, I say that realizing that the Republicans aren't the first to have done this sort of thing, and they certainly didn't invent gerrymandering. It existed before the Republican Party existed, back when it was the Federalists versus the Republican Democrats, the Democratic Republicans, which are now known as the Democrats. But, boy, are they turning it into an art form. Just extraordinary what's going on. Before we get into that, let me just share a couple of quick emails with you. One we got, this is on the message board, actually. If you want to drop into our chat room, by the way, there's already some folks in there having a conversation. I want to drop into the chat room. It is, go to TomHartmanShow.com and click the link to chat. That'll take you to the International Trade Forum on CompuServe. Once you're there, you'll see a button that says chat. You click that, and boom, you're in. So it should be a pretty straightforward process. Now, similarly, on Tom Hartman Show, over on the left-hand side of the page, you'll see a link to the message board, and that's where you can post a more permanent message if you want. And Hagbard Celine posted a message there the other day. Quotes from Representative Ron Paul, one of the more conservative of the Republicans. And Ron Paul says, and I quote, "Pharmaceutical companies are the biggest winners under the new plan," this being the new Medicare plan that's moving through Congress or has moved. "Large drug makers will become virtual partners with government, lobbying to make sure their drugs are part of the new system." Paul goes on to say, "The pharmaceutical industry reportedly spent $135 million in recent months lobbying for the new Medicare bill." Now, how do you spend $135 million lobbying? I mean, lobbying is like when somebody goes and knocks on the door of a congressperson and say, "Hello, I'm here to lobby you." It has to be more than that. It has to be like passing out money. We need a different word for that than lobbying. How about the old-fashioned word? Bribery! Well, Anyway, the pharmaceutical industry, Ron Paul says, reportedly spent $135 million in recent months lobbying for the new Medicare bill. This speaks volumes about how seriously they viewed the stakes involved. Jezebella in Tennessee posted a message saying, "What about Howard Dean? I think he's the only person who has a chance of winning. I also find that libertarians are usually single men or women without children. I can understand to a point they not wanting to give tax money to Big Brother, but I find the not wanting to fund anything, including schools, to be a little extreme. I, for one, want to make sure that the future generations have access to quality education, if for no other reason than one day they will be my caretakers." See, this is the enlightened self-interest, you know, and enlightened selfishness really does go a long way, and it's where so many of the cons are so short-sighted. Shouldn't we all choose to stand beside the best option this time and slowly change things as we can, says Jezebella from Tennessee. Andy in Pennsylvania responds. Chris gets into this and here in River Watershed, and it goes on and on. There's quite a discussion here about Howard Dean and Democrats and Republicans and all this sort of thing, and he ends up, Chris, from the Huron River watershed, saying, I agree with your sentiments about the war and the consequences that have been visited on so many, both American and Iraqi. As someone who spent 2 years of my life serving in another U.S.-sponsored war, it rarely comports with the news reports that tend to be diluted or antiseptic for those looking on from the comfort of their living rooms. I think we must hold to account those Democrats who sanctioned this war by their votes in the Senate and House of Representatives. Kerry, Lieberman, Edwards, and Gephardt all voted to proceed with Bush's war agenda. Should we therefore also start calling liberal programs to denounce the Dems? There is a lot of drum beating to oust George W. Bush on this site. I agree with that point of view, but it also strikes me as Pollyanna-ish, to ignore the obvious qualities of the so-called new Democrats who are joined at the hip with much of Bush's agenda. Of course, that's the discussion of the Democratic Leadership is it a Council, Committee, Conference, DLC. And one of these days soon, I want to do a show on that group, but it's not at this moment. And I got an email here from Jason Lee, who says, I've been listening to your show for about a week now, and now that I've heard Barry talking about how America must go all over the world to impress democracy among countries that don't agree with us, I've tried getting into the message boards and the chat rooms to get this idea out there. I guess my computer isn't much for that. So here's his email. He said, and this is his response to Barry, who was a guest on the show yesterday. He says, who are we, America, to think so highly of ourselves that our way is the only right way? I love this country, and I don't want to be anywhere else, but I've never heard one word from the countries that we have helped asking for our help. He's talking about the countries that we've bombed. I'm glad we got rid of Saddam, but are we really in the right to just take over the country, even if only for a little while? This reminds me of a father giving his son a new toy. The dad will show his son how to use it. And when the child gets the toy, the dad stays there watching, make sure he does everything right. Could Iraq be the next son of America? Thanks for the show. It's fantastic. And thanks for listening to my little rant. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Jason, for letting us know your thoughts. Eyes Wide Shut from the editors in this month's issue of the July 7 and 14 issue of the New Republic. An article about how the Texas Department of Safety, the DPS, has passed the buck. You know, this is the group that the Republican legislators in Texas set off, contacted and said, get into the Homeland Security group and let's track down these Democrats when the Democrats left Texas to avoid the redistricting fight. Which comes back to our question for this hour, is the Davis recall another Republican effort to subvert democracy? The larger issue is that this is part of a whole campaign. And the redistricting is a big one. Now, redistricting is something that is typically done right after the census. And the census is done every 10 years. And so redistricting is typically done in years that end with zero and, you know, every 10 years. And the redistricting is based on population trends. You got a certain number of people who represent certain areas and all that sort of thing. And they draw these maps of who's going to go where to determine who gets represented by whom. And Tom DeLay has just been just driving this thing, just absolutely driving it. It's absolutely startling. From today's New York Times, an article by David Halbfinger Across the U.S., redistricting is a never-ending battle. For most of the past century, redistricting has been a fairly predictable, though often contentious, ritual. Every 10 years, state legislators would, and he talks about this, and the party in power would usually manage to draw maps to give it an advantage. Right. Now, thanks to a determined effort by United States Representative Tom DeLay, the House Majority Leader, with the quiet support of the White House, and by the way, it's not so quiet. Karl Rove was actually calling legislators in Denver, in Colorado, a couple of weeks ago, because they just did this in Colorado, and lobbying for this there, where they reorganized the state so that the Republicans would have unassailable seats. That tradition may be crumbling, says this article, as legislatures draw new districts whenever they have partisan advantage. Today, the Republican-controlled Texas legislature opened an extraordinary special session devoted solely to redrawing that state's 32 congressional districts. And this, by the way, has got some folks in Texas really bent out of shape. I mean, they just did all kinds of bondoing and puttying and pasting and squeezing and bending and spindling and folding and mutilating to get the budget through and get a balanced budget. And now the Republicans are calling a special session that's going to cost at least $1.2 million just to get all these people back together and do this thing. A 30-day special session for one purpose and one person purpose only. And that is to redistrict the state. Republicans did much the same thing last month in Denver, the New York Times points out, pushing a new map through the Colorado legislature specifically to shore up the seat of a freshman congressman who won office by only a 121-vote margin. So what does Tom DeLay say about this? He says, quote, "I'm the majority leader and we want more seats," end quote. And I'm sorry, it's $1.7 million it's going to cost to do this in Texas. Grover Norquist, in my opinion, one of the most anti-democracy people in America, says bipartisanship is where both parties gang up against the people. I want to take the partisanship in Washington and drive it into the 50 states. He's looking for one-party rule here, in my opinion. Others note that, he quoted in the New York Times here, Republicans chose, he's the guy who said that he doesn't want to destroy government, he just wants to get it small enough that he can drag it into the bathroom and drown it in the bathtub. Republicans chose at the time to let the judges redraw the congressional districts. This was in Texas. But then, you know, they let a judge do it because it was so contentious. But then when they got power, they said, nah, we're going to redo it. We're going to redo it. And, it goes on and on. So this is the Texas thing. And now in the midst of trying to do this, the Democrats said, no, we're not going to let you do that. We're going to leave town. And they went to Oklahoma, as I recall, and hid out. And so what happened was the DHS, the Texas Department of Public Safety, DPS, contacted the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, and said, go after these guys. And this was a clear violation of the law, using the FBI and the Homeland Security apparatus for partisan purposes. And then they destroyed all the records of it. They pulled an Ollie North. They destroyed all these things. And so now the FBI says they can't investigate them because there's no paperwork. And DHS, Department of Homeland Security, did an investigation. But as the New Republic says, to be blunt, it was a joke. And they conclude saying the days when an out-of-control independent counsel can leap from lengthy investigation to lengthy investigation have thankfully passed. The independent counsel law expired in 1999. This was the thing that came in when Nixon fired his own Justice Department investigator who was looking into Nixon. So they said, well, we got to have somebody independent to investigate. And, of course, Ken Starr abused that so badly that everybody said, we don't want this to happen again. $80 million to investigate, And now, with the Republicans in control of essentially everything, there's nobody to do an investigation. Nobody. You know, the 911 investigation has been blocked. The Republicans are refusing to let that thing out. The investigation into this Department of Homeland Security has been blocked. I mean, all this stuff, it's all being nailed down. And as a result of these redistricting things, for example, in Florida, you see where in the 2000 presidential vote in Tampa, Orlando, it was split right down the middle. But that area has 12 House seats, and they should be 6-6, right? Instead, there are 10 Republicans and 2 Democrats. Why? Because of, quote, clever gerrymandering by a Republican-controlled legislature. So, is democracy being subverted? Should we come up with a better system? What's going on with this? Stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims, court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Here's the problem with most test drives. You don't really get to test anything. You go around the block, maybe two if you're lucky, and the whole time a salesman's yapping nonstop, probably to cover up that weird noise that's coming from the engine compartment. Only one car company has the confidence to let you take a car home overnight and drive it on your terms. That company is GM. It's called the 24-hour test drive. Drive it to work, to soccer practice, see what your friends think. There's no pressure to buy. It's a big decision. There's a lot of money on the line, and we want you to be totally comfortable with it. Of course, you have to have a driver's license. You have to have insurance. You have to have approved credit. I know, we're real sticklers. Oh, yes, you have to be 21. Just get to a participating dealer by July 21st. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24hour or call 1-800-508-1050.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
No one knows what it's like to feel these feelings like I do. And I blame you.
Welcome back back to the Tom Hartman radio program on the IU America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. If you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. In another 5 minutes or so, we're going to have a guest on, Jeff Metcalf, a conservative talk show host who's going to be talking about how he thinks it's a bad thing for the Republicans that the Gray Davis recall is going through. I think it's a bad thing for democracy. We have this an article in the Chicago Sun-Times yesterday by William O'Rourke, Rich's fueling recall of California governor. And he talks about how the Whitewater investigation and all that it spawned, it turned into something that turned into something that turned into something that turned into the Monica thing, which turned into the impeachment, which then failed in the Senate, was an attempt by the Republicans to recall the president. It's like, you know, when they don't win in the polls, then they try to figure out another. It's like, you know, the ends justify the means. Similarly, the battle for vote counting in 2000 in Florida, O'Rourke says, was fueled by special interest money because it looked like Al Gore was in need of recalling, although the hard right managed to accomplish the annulling of the popular will before Gore took office. And you see this. And he goes on to point out that the money for this, he says, never before has a tax cut been so aimed at a donor base. And what the top percent have to return to the president and his party is less than what he's already given them. Bush's donors are getting what they paid for. Democrats are at a decided disadvantage. They have not only to raise hard-earned money to win, but like Gray Davis, they then have to raise more money to fight partisan recall movements after they do. So we see this series, this history of the cons going after Democrats and in some cases after moderate Republicans. I mean, look at what happened to Olympia Snowe and George Voinovich recently. The whole Rhino thing, Republican in name only, brought about by these right-wing extremists. And, for example, Representative Daryl Issa. I don't know if it's Issa or Issa. The driving force behind the recall, to recall Governor Gray Davis, this recall was going nowhere. Every single governor, since the ability to recall a governor was put into California law back in, as I recall, 1911 or 1916, back it was part of the progressive agenda. And it gave the citizens an opportunity, or the ability, to recall a governor, a lieutenant governor, and judges. And the whole idea was to get corrupt officials out, to give the people the ability to get out somebody who was genuinely corrupt, because back in the Gilded Age, there was an enormous amount of genuine corruption. And every governor since then has had somebody try to start a recall campaign against them in the state of California. And just like all the other ones, this one was going nowhere. And then along comes this guy, Issa, who has been charged. He was arrested in February of 1980 on felony auto theft charges. He was accused in a scheme in which his brother allegedly sold his Mercedes 240 to Smythe European Motors in San Jose for $13,000 cash and $1,000 traveler's checks. It's a very, very strange guy and a multimillionaire. And this guy comes up with $1 million. Now, he's got to get 900,000 signatures. Okay, so we got this. Now I got an email here. Outside of a local grocery store, two young people were asked to sign a petition. Their statement said, "Would you like to sign this petition to save teachers' jobs?" The petition person outside the supermarket handed it to the person who wrote this email. And they said, "The petition was handed to me, and I looked at the bottom of it and read the names of those supporting it. Firefighters, no local union cited, various religious organizations, unnamed, Citizens Against Taxpayer Waste, and others. In small print was the word recall. I then looked at the top of the petition in a very small print and conveniently covered up, again, was the word recall, with the remainder of the statement covered up. I looked at the bottom and realized that this was a petition to recall Governor Davis." This is what happens when you practice checkbook politics. He's paying 75 cents a signature. He's got people out there lying to folks about what they're signing. This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Lawyers from a union-busting U.S. law firm are busy rewriting labor laws in Afghanistan to ban effective union organizing there. The firm, Deckert LLP, boasts on its website of its record in helping clients, quote, maintain a union-free environment. It's one of a two-pronged attack on workers' rights in Afghanistan. The other comes from the World Bank, which is reportedly pushing for a 10% cut in Afghanistan's minimum wage as a condition for World Bank investment in the country.
Union leaders staged a rally outside the U.S. Department of Labor yesterday, protesting plans by the Bush administration to roll back the number of workers entitled to overtime pay under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Judy Conte is with the Employment Justice Center.
This is not a boon for low-wage workers. It is not a boon for working Americans. Overtime is going to be shifted from low-wage workers who depend on that overtime for their paychecks, and it's going to be shifted to all of a sudden these 8 million people who are going to lose their overtime, and in addition with that, work more hours to keep them away from their homes and their families and their other lives.
The Economic Policy Institute estimates a net 8 million American workers would lose their right to the 40-hour work week if the changes are adopted.
It's being called the worst defeat in 50 years for IG Metall, Germany's largest industrial trade union. The union ended a four-week strike of East German auto parts factories this weekend. The goal was to get East German workers a 35-hour work week like their counterparts in the West have, but factory owners wouldn't budge on the issue, and support of the union from the German public, already suffering through a third year of overall economic malaise, declined rapidly, especially after auto assembly factories in the West began closing for lack of parts. Union leaders now say they will try to negotiate shorter work weeks on a company-by-company basis.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Live on, live on, life is money. It makes a lot to say. Spends his days counting.
Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. The recall mechanism for statewide officers and legislators in California first appeared as a constitutional amendment in 1911, put forth by progressive Governor Hiram Johnson. And since that time, virtually every governor has faced some sort of an effort to get recalled. And four state legislators have actually been recalled. Senator Marshall Black, Senator Edwin Grant, Assemblymember Paul Horcher, and Doris Allen, the most recent one in 1995, Doris Allen, Republican of Orange County, and Paul Horcher, Republican of Los Angeles County, both actually recalled in 1995. And so this is nothing new for California. What is new is that this is the first time somebody has gone out and paid people to collect signatures. So you got these people standing in front of the supermarket saying, do you want to save California's teachers, with the word recall in 8-point type down at the very bottom. Strange goings-on in California. Jeff Metcalf is a ninth-generation commissioned officer in the U.S. Armed Services and a former Green Beret, a retired USARLTC, and has commanded a Special Forces Operation Detachment, military police. Metcalf is a published author and Newsmax pundit and has an extraordinarily eclectic professional background with careers in radio, print journalism, advertising, and consulting. Started out in radio in 1968. Hey, Jeff, that's the same year I started out in radio, starting as a news editor and progressing through a variety of positions, including news director, program director, sales manager, general manager, and owner of a Massachusetts radio station. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. Good to be with you.
Hey, welcome. Now, I understand from reading this piece that you wrote that you think that this will be a disaster for the Republicans if they can pull this thing off.
I think it was epic brain flatulence on the part of some guys who, listen, great, get something up front. Gray Davis deserves to be recalled. He has been malfeasant. He's been incompetent. He's done a miserable job. Nobody likes him. Even people within his own party don't like him. He's a slug. However, there are consequences to the things you do and don't do in life. And I'm in the minority here among conservative types in California who think that potentially the negative consequences of this recall are going to bite California big and arguably hand it over to the liberal Democrats for a long, long time. Now, a lot of people say, yes, so what, Jeff? They already have it. But I don't think the recall is such a great idea.
Yeah. Now, you say he deserves to be recalled. Sort of like impeachment. I mean, shouldn't recall be reserved for things like corruption, bribery, not just being a screw-up or incompetent or unpopular?
Chris Ruddy, who's the grand poobah at Newsmax, after I wrote my piece, he wrote a piece in opposition to the recall. And he makes that point. Davis, although he's disliked universally and has done...
By all but 21%.
Yeah. and those are the hardcore sycophants, most of whom depend on him for a paycheck. But the reality is he hasn't done anything criminal that we know of yet. Now, some people are going to argue that, well, wait a minute, when he got reelected in that slim victory over Bill Simon, who ran a lousy campaign, he lied to the constituents, and he said that the budget mess wasn't as bad as it is when he knew otherwise. That's one thing they're going to try to hang their hat on. But frankly, what I'm more concerned about is the prospect of Dianne Feinstein coming in as governor. Now, she's allegedly said she doesn't want to run. But I'm going to tell you, I talked to a lot of consultants from both the Democratic and the Republican Party in California, and the inside word at the State House in Sacramento is all the Democrats have agreed to one thing. They're going to chill, back off, and give Davis the opportunity to defeat the recall. But I guarantee you, Tom, if or when the recall qualifies for the ballot, Katie Barr the door and all these people who have been, you know, pledging their undying support for Gray Davis are going to be putting their name on the ballot. And I wouldn't be surprised to see DiFi do that. And if she does, there's a whole bunch of consequences that go along with that. If a U.S. senator becomes governor of California, she gets, as governor, to appoint her successor. So she gets to appoint the U.S. senator from California that would occupy her seat.
She'd have to recuse herself from that, wouldn't she?
No. It happens like that all the time. Pete Wilson did it when he was a U.S. senator and he got elected governor. He appointed his successor.
All right.
So there's ample precedent for this, and that's the way the procedure works. But I can foresee a domino effect to this. The lieutenant governor in California is a guy named Cruz Bustamante, who is Hispanic and has ambitions. If Dianne Feinstein were to appoint Cruz Bustamante as the U.S. senator, it accomplishes a couple of things. First, he'd be the first Hispanic senator from California. Right now, there's more Hispanics in California than there are anything else. The Democratic Party scores big brownie points with the Hispanic community. Bustamante, unlike Seymour, who Wilson appointed, is smart enough and savvy enough and has the clout. He could hang on to that seat if he wanted to. Bill Lockyer, who is the Attorney General, also has ambitions to be governor. But Di could cut a deal with him. And if Bustamante becomes U.S. Senator, she could appoint Bill Lockyer Lieutenant Governor, because she'd get to do that as the new governor, too.
So you've got this whole cascading effect here.
Say again?
You got this whole cascading effect that's going to lock up the state for the Democrats.
Attorney General becomes lieutenant governor. She then has the opportunity to appoint his successor. California becomes the bloody house that Diane built.
Right, and which would be fine with me, frankly. But who's this Issa guy, or is it Issa?
Issa is a congressman from Southern California, whose own political consultants have told him he could never win in a straight statewide race. However, this is an anomaly. The way this recall thing works is it's kind of a two-part ballot. Do you want to recall the governor? Yes or no? If he's recalled, then there's a whole bunch of names on there. And they're talking about there could be 12, 16 names on there.
Probably could be 20 or 30.
Whoever gets to be governor could end up being the governor of a state of 36 million people with a couple hundred thousand votes.
Right.
And Issa thinks that's his one chance. Arnold Schwarzenegger is another player.
Yeah, so this guy, okay, great. 1-800-TALK-YES is our phone number if you'd like to be on the show today. 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in Santa Cruz is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. We're talking with Jeff Metcalf.
Reporting in from Metcalf Marauders, sir.
Okay.
You know, Jeff used to be a great talk show up in Sacramento, and I got to know him there. I'm just curious, where are you working these days? Jeff?
We just, I just got a note here from IE that we just lost Jeff. Apparently, maybe when they pushed the button to bring you on, it somehow disconnected him, so they're dialing him right back. So we'll have him back on.
Well, we'll talk about Gray Davis then for a second.
Oh, okay. He's back. Okay. Jeff is back. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
So, welcome back, Jeff. And Billy in Santa Cruz is on the line.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Jeff. Where are you working out of these days?
I'm in Sacramento doing a show for Talk America.
Oh, you're still up in Sacramento. KST?
Nope. I'm on the Talk American radio network.
Okay. All right, my friend. Jeff, wouldn't you agree that the reason they're trying to throw him out, besides which is just that it's their attempt at winning an election that they didn't win, is about the supposed lies about the budget?
I think that's what they're going to hang their head on, the fact that he lied in the election, and they're going to argue that that was the distinction. But I'm going to tell you, there are negative. I know I'm the Lone Ranger here, and I've got close personal friends who were actively involved in this recall effort, and we respectfully agree to disagree. I think this is going to hurt the Republican Party in California significantly.
Well, I mean, I hope so, because while I'm not a Democrat, I am anti-Republican. And it seems unseemly. Now, as a citizen, anything that allows you to throw out a politician any time, I see as a good thing.
I see it as essentially anti-democratic. I mean, that's why we have elections,
and
there's a whole process associated with it.
Because elections, you know what?
Okay, it's super democratic. It's anti-republic.
The problem is, let me ask you this: whether this is true or false, elections really don't work anymore because the elections are sort of settled in reapportionment and gerrymandering meetings, which is totally undemocratic, and it's basically a sham, and 99 or 96% of the people elected get reelected.
Billy, here's the cruel reality check, okay? The system sucks. It's lousy. It's broken. However, it's the system we have, and it's incumbent on us to work within the system. The other reality is the people we elect as representatives inevitably don't end up representing us, but instead represent special interests.
Exactly, and themselves.
Who exercise a disproportionate amount of influence over them, largely because of how much money they give them.
Exactly.
I mean, take a look at the gay community. I mean, you're talking about 2% of the population that has...
Take a look at the business community that gets $160 billion in tax dollars compared to $16 million for poor welfare folks. I mean, you want to talk about special interest. Jeff and Billy, I have a question for both of you. You guys seem to be in some agreement that Gray Davis lied to the citizens about the budget deficit. How is it that
he did.
Okay,
yeah,
how is it...
But you know what? Along with every other person who was running for a seat at that time.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me lay this question out here.
Let's remember to blame where the money is not coming from anymore.
Hold on.
Unfunded mandate.
Here's my question.
Okay, go ahead.
How is it in a state where you've got presumably a fair number of savvy, intelligent people, you certainly have a political opposition that has some brains about them, the budget, the future budget of the state is not some deep, dark secret. I mean, these numbers are all right out there in the open. Any reporter can find that. How can anybody quote, lie, end quote. You know, somebody could misrepresent it. They could say, ah, this is how I think it's going to be, and it turns out it's not that way. But,
Tom,
but
it's
to tell
it. Tom, it's the process. And the way the budget process works is that they come up with a blue sky budget in January, and then there's a May revise, which is kind of a do-over. The Legislative Analyst Office is a, and frankly is a real thorn in the governor's side, is a nonpartisan entity which reports the for real numbers. Davis had some forewarning of how bad the budget was going to be. And, you know, there's another thing that's attached to this. Not only is he looking at something like a $38 billion plus deficit, but on top of that, California right now, which, by the way, is doesn't have a budget and won't have one anytime soon, is spending $30 million a day more than they're taking in revenue. And
yeah,
the cruel reality is, the reality is, they're going to have to cut, and the Democrats who control everything, the governor's office, the legislature, that cutting is anathema to them.
To what extent, Jeff and Billy?
Wait, we need the other side of that answer.
Yeah, I was just going to say, to what extent is this overspending the result of unfunded mandates coming from Washington, D.C., along with the tax cuts happening in Washington?
Let me try that for a second. First of all, these numbers are guesswork. When a politician stands up and says, oh, let's take a George Bush, when he says, my tax cuts will bring a million jobs, is that a lie or is it the truth?
It's speculation.
Exactly. It's a lie if you pretend it's the truth.
Whoa, if you act like it's the truth, you are lying. Billy, chill for a second. What about Al Gore when he approved NAFTA saying, yes, we're going to lose jobs, but those jobs are going to be replaced with new jobs in industries that probably haven't been created yet?
Well,
like
it's half a lie.
They did that. That was bull feathers.
It's partly true, just like everything else that politicians all say. See, that's the under the final analysis.
So, Billy, what is your point?
My point is this. It turns out the political class is no longer people who help build up America and bring it towards its constitutional realities, but instead, the political class, the legislative class, are people who have destroyed our democracy, destroyed our republic, and we should be able to do anything we can to get them out of office as often as we can, as easily as we can. They're our enemies. They're not our friends. The Constitution requires
us to bring down a government that's negative.
The other
side of that rant.
Okay, thanks, Billy. I appreciate the comments there. We got it, what you have to say
get
there.
Get what they deserve.
Jeff, you're saying the politicians get what they deserve?
No, I'm saying the constituents get what they reserve. I mean, if California's going to hell in a
handbasket. See, I don't believe that. I can't say that people are getting what they're deserving. People are getting it because we have this system that is so skewed. I mean, how can the average person, the average working person, really have any input of consequence when in order for any kind of legislation to get passed, it requires millions of dollars in lobbying and guys in Gucci shoes going through and passing out $100,000 checks or $5,000 checks? I mean, it's not... Yes, you're right. It's a broken system. But to say that people get what they deserve, it's like blaming the victim.
Well, you know, Tom, the reality is, although I think Gray Davis is malfeasant, incompetent, and a slug, the people of California voted for him.
Yeah. Well, we agree.
Yes.
Which is a bad thing, I suppose. Okay, Jeff, thank you very much
for sharing that.
And appreciate you being on the program. Jeff Metcalf. Jeff, is there a website where people can find out more about you and your work and your show?
Sure. There's two places I'd send them. One is Newsmax.com, and the other is Jeff, G-E-O-F-F, Metcalf.com.
Great. Jeff, thank you very much for being on the program. I appreciate it today. Have a good one. Okay, and the Green Party of California is now weighing in on this thing. The Greens say that they are going to be ready with a candidate if this effort proves successful, and some individual Greens are already working on the recall. Greens working on the recall? It's like buzzards circling. So back to Daryl Issa. Did he say Issa? Issa? Number one, there was the first Mercedes 240 that was allegedly stolen. And then there was another one. In a second incident, when he was 19, he was indicted with his brother William on a charge of grand felony theft for allegedly stealing a red Maserati sports car from a car dealership in Cleveland, court records show. And in a third incident, a retired Army sergeant claimed that in 1971, This congressman, then an enlisted man, had stolen a Dodge sedan from an Army post near Pittsburgh. The allegation was published in a 1998 story in the San Francisco Examiner. This, by the way, I'm sharing with you from SF Gate, an article called Representative Issa was charged in San Jose auto theft. I quoted the retired sergeant as saying he had recovered the car after confronting Issa and threatening him. Issa denied the allegation, called it reckless. The newspaper reported no charges were filed. So this guy apparently three times has been arrested or charged or accused of car theft. And so he goes into the car alarm business and makes a fortune. And now he's out there saying 75 cents a signature, apparently. Or some, you know, you put $1 million in and you need 1 million signatures. That's $1 a signature, maybe a little bit less because there's overhead costs. Say 75 cents a signature. And so you got people standing outside grocery stores saying, not do you want to recall the governor, but do you want to save our teachers? Strange to checkbook politics. Checkbook politics in California. How destructive is this? You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Anna?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Molloy
Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did. When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, I want you to go kill those people, and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me. These people are crazy.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday, from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
They're coming to take me away.
Bringing you Uncommon Sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart.
And you're in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Iraq's leading Shiite cleric. This is right down to where the rubber meets the road. This is the real time to decide, America. Do we want democracy in Iraq or not? Now, this administration has already said that they should have socialized medicine, health care for all Iraqi citizens, that they should have free public education for all Iraqi citizens, although the same administration doesn't want either of those things for Americans. This administration has suggested that the oil of Iraq belongs to Iraq's citizens, although they are in the process of selling it off to oil companies. But nonetheless, that's not the case here. We don't have nationalized natural resources like they do in, for example, Norway. But do we want them to have anything that approximates democracy? The Shiites are 60% of the population. And the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani is the head guy of the most moderate of the Shiites. So he's regarded as the guy that people listen to, the guy to pay attention to, the guy to take seriously. Iraq's leading Shiite cleric has issued a ruling called a fatwa condemning the idea of a constitutional council put together by the American Occupation Authority. See, Paul Bremer has said that he's going to get together 25 to 30 people in Iraq, Iraqis, that we like, that we can work with. And these 25 or 30 Iraqis are going to come up with a constitution for Iraq. And this cleric has been staying on the sidelines. In fact, he's been very strongly criticized by a lot of his rivals, this Ayatollah, for not coming out, because he's the Grand Ayatollah, for not coming out and saying something political. And he's been saying, well, you know, I'm about religion. But now he's urging Iraqis to push for general elections for a constitutional assembly, because he's afraid that they may end up with a constitution that is not, quote, founded on Islam. Democracy in Iraq, time will tell. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back after the news.
Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why not get something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. Roman Catholic Bishop Sean Patrick O'Malley has been named by Pope John Paul II as the new Archbishop of the Boston Archdiocese. Addressing reporters today, the bishop said he's ready to step up to the plate and become an instrument of peace and reconciliation in a church in need of healing.
The Holy Father has seen fit to name me your Archbishop in this very difficult time. I feel acutely aware of my own deficiencies in the face of the task at hand. I ask for everyone's prayers and collaboration as I embark on this ministry.
O'Malley is currently serving as the Bishop of Palm Beach, Florida. The 59-year-old member of the Franciscan Order served as Bishop of Fall River, Massachusetts from 1992 to 2002. Tropical Storm Bill has been downgraded to a tropical depression. The storm roared ashore in Louisiana yesterday, bringing as much as 10 inches of rain, heavy winds, and at least two tornadoes. In the town of Reserve, about 40 miles outside of New Orleans, four people were hurt. Dozens of homes and businesses were damaged when one of those tornadoes ripped through a trailer. Park. The American military commander of Fallujah in Iraq says there were no bombs dropped or shells fired at a mosque near the center of town. Eight Iraqis, including some religious leaders, were killed when a building next to the mosque exploded. Although local Iraqis accuse American forces of targeting the building, the on-scene commander says looters stripping the metal from live artillery rounds more than likely caused the blast. Education reform is on the mind of President Bush. He had strong words of support today for educators challenging mediocrity and embracing accountability. Bush spoke at a charter school in the nation's capital, where he also praised schools that challenge failure in public education. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was down 79 points, the Nasdaq down 15, and the S&P down 7 points.
I had a bad headache. I tried Advil Liquigels. They work faster than Tylenol.
I needed stronger medicine, and Advil Liquigels get that medicine to my headache faster.
I get better relief with Advil Liquigels.
Every day, more people are choosing Advil Liquigels to relieve tough headache pain. Advil has these advanced capsules with liquid medicine inside to rush relief where you need it. Proven faster, stronger, better than Tylenol.
Now, every time I get a tough headache, I choose Advil Liquigels.
For better headache relief, advance to Advil.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Several people are coming in to investigators' focus in the case of a missing Baylor University basketball player. Police in Waco, Texas say these individuals are, quote, of interest in Patrick Dennehy's disappearance. An informant has come forward with claims that Dennehy was fatally shot by his roommate and former teammate, Carlton Dotson. The newest member of the cabinet could soon be in line to succeed the President of the United States. The Washington Times reports a bill designed to put Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge eighth in the line of succession passed the Senate last week with virtually no fanfare. The measure still has to pass to the House.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol. She gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
The blood supply is already low because of summer vacations, and new restrictions on giving blood are making it tougher on donors. Dr. Jeannie Lumadue of Inova Blood Donor Services says new diseases like SARS and West Nile mean there are new ways you can be disqualified as a donor.
Because we now defer travelers who have traveled to SARS afflicted areas for 28 days after they return. West Nile virus, if you have a fever and a headache in the past week before you donate, you're deferred for 28 days, and of course, if you have West Nile virus, you're deferred for a month.
Lumadue calls the current lack of blood donors a dire situation, saying all types of blood will be gladly accepted. Kraft Foods wants to make its product healthier. The maker of foods like Oreo cookies and Ritz crackers says it wants to reduce sugar, fat, and calories. Executives say the reason is that obesity has become a public health problem of global proportions. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast-to-coast on terrestrial radio stations from outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system. Channel 145 on Sirius Satellite, and broadcasting out live on the Internet from radiopower.org, iamericaradio.com, and archived at whiterosesociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program. In this hour, is money the root of all evil? And I realize the actual quote is the love of money is the root of all evil, but this is the common paraphrase. Is money the root of all evil or an energy to be embraced? I want to digress just a little bit from politics and get into something here that this is a topic that I'm interested in. I think most people are in some way. And let's open it up and even broaden it a little bit. We can bring it back to politics. For example, Thomas Jefferson. I was just this morning reading the collected writings of Thomas Jefferson. In a letter to John Adams, this was after he left the presidency, he said, "I have ever been opposed to the party so falsely called Federalists." It's a real slap at Adams, who was the head of the Federalists, "because I believe them desirous of introducing into our governmental authorities hereditary or otherwise independent of the national will." So these always consume the public contributions and oppress the people. with labor and poverty. Should give you a little larger context. We'll get into that in more detail at some point in the future. But Jefferson was basically saying, rule by the rich means everybody else gets to be a serf. And this is back. The Federalists are back. It's the con agenda. You can't get away from it. So let's talk about money a little bit. Because one of the things that, one of the repeated mantras of the cons is, oh, it's my money, you can't take it, and or I earned it, and it's interesting that a lot of conservative writers talk about liberal guilt. And in fact, a lot of liberal writers do, actually. There was a series of articles about money in Utney Reader last month, as I recall, and one of them, this guy starts out going, I was really proud of the fact that I only earned $50 a month way back in the 60s when I was working on an underground newspaper, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, is there something noble about being poor? Well, I think it can be, I suppose. But it's really, here's how I think of it. Money is just energy. It's just a medium of exchange. It's, you know, yeah, okay, it's a medium. But really what you are doing, what money is a medium of exchange, and the exchange that it is in exchange for is your life, the time and energy of your life. And so one of our useful things, one of the useful things to do in our lives might be to figure out ways to have a better relationship with money, or to earn more of it, or to have a better, you know, to make it work for it, without getting sucked into this love of money is the root of all evil, this biblical warning that, and which just, you know, cuts right across, that it's when people become obsessed with money that they go down in flames. So how to do that, and what's going on with money in our culture, and I want to talk a little bit about being an entrepreneur, which is something that I've been doing for the last 30 years, here and there in various ways. First of all, what's happening broadly? We've got some real money problems happening in the United States. The stock market bubble burst a couple of 3 years ago, and we've all seen the consequences of that. There are two other bubbles yet to burst. And the Fed right now is pumping these things so hard and so fast to try to keep them from bursting before the 2004 election so that George Bush can get reelected, that it has become jaw-dropping to professional economists and people around the world. One of these bubbles is the currency, the value of the dollar relative to other currencies. Because the dollar, the value of the United States dollar should be lower than it is, given how much in debt we are and given the size of our economy relative to that of other nations. But it's being held up by the fact that the price of oil is denominated in dollars by OPEC and by most of the oil-producing nations. Saddam Hussein was, as I recall, only the third oil-producing country to say that he was going to shift away from the dollar. And should the dollar not be the currency of exchange used for oil, it will bring a collapse of our currency that will come home to our shores, because people will no longer be trading in dollars for oil. They'll no longer be needing to park dollars in treasury bills and debt instruments of the United States government. They'll start unloading those things. The government will start having to pay more and more in interest in order to get people to buy its debt, which means that we're going to be back where we were with Nixon after the oil mess of 72, 73, where in 74, 75, 76, 77, 78, we saw interest rates going up to 16, 17, 18, 19%. And so there's the U.S. dollar currency bubble. The second bubble, and this is the really scary one, not that the first isn't, but the second bubble is the housing value bubble. People think of their homes, they think of the money that they spend for their home, not in terms of, and when they're buying and selling houses, when people are buying houses, They think of it not in terms of, oh, this is a $100,000 house, this is a $30,000 house, this is a $300,000 house. They don't think of it in those terms so much as my monthly payments on this will be $350 a month, my monthly payments on this will be $825 a month, whatever it is, and can I afford that monthly payment? So as interest rates have gone lower and lower and lower, it has made it possible for people on the same monthly payment to own houses that have higher and higher, higher prices. So what's happened is that the apparent value of houses, that is the price, has gone up. We've seen in some markets, here in Vermont, for example, in the last 5 years, it's been almost 20% increase. I mean, way ahead of the rate of inflation. In some communities, it's been 40, 50% inflation in the value of homes over the last 5 years. Why? Because interest rates have gone through the floor. As the interest rates go down, the price of the house can go up and the monthly payment remains the same. So people who are selling houses say, hey, I can charge a higher price for this, and people will pay it because they're just paying the same monthly payments. Well, once those interest rates start going up, which will come about when the currency bubble bursts, or when the Fed stops artificially driving down interest rates. Once that interest rate bubble pops, the housing bubble will pop, and you will see a drop in housing prices like you saw in California 20 years ago. And it's going to be a mess. So now, who's holding all these mortgages that people won't be able to pay for anymore? Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. And now, in the U.S. News and World Report, June 23rd issue, accounting irregularities, it says, does this sound familiar? A much-admired corporate giant with impenetrable finances makes a cryptic announcement of accounting irregularities and sends its top executives packing, some with multimillion-dollar payouts. Criminal and securities investigations are launched, and Congress plans a hearing. No, it's not Enron. It's Freddie Mac. Freddie Mac owns one out of six mortgages in the United States. You may think that your bank holds your mortgage, but your bank sold it to Freddie Mac. And now they're saying, okay, longtime CEO Leland Brensel quit. The CFO, Vaughn Clark, resigned. The COO, the Chief Operating Officer, David Glenn, was fired for refusing to turn over notes potentially relevant to an internal investigation of the company's finances. Freddie Mac owns or guarantees $1.3 trillion worth of mortgages, and Fannie Mae has $2 trillion in loans. And this money is invested out there in the market in systems called derivatives that are really starting to spook people. U.S. Attorney in Northern Virginia has opened a criminal probe. The Securities and Exchange Commission has launched a probe. To quote U.S. News and World Report again, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac have managed to maintain special government treatment. Unlike private financial services companies, they don't have to pay state income taxes and don't have to register their bond issues with the SEC through intense lobbying, large campaign donations, and the perception that they're vital to home ownership. They are the biggest donors of soft money to the political parties. Freddie Mac doled out $4 million last year, while Fannie Mae handed out $1.8 million. In 2000, Freddie Mac spent $5.1 million just on outside lobbyists, while Fannie Mae spent $7 million on lobbyists. People think these are government agencies. They're not. They started out with some government support. They started out as federally chartered corporations, something that the federal government is not or was not supposed to do in the minds of the founders. It was always supposed to be state chartered corporations. We had Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, and Amtrak are basically the most famous of the federally chartered corporations. And they allowed these things to spin off, go private, start paying their CEOs millions, literally, and just suck up all this mortgage debt so that the banks could be more profitable. See, the way it works is the money supply in the United States actually gets increased by our banking system as much as by the Fed or the Treasury. And the way that works is when your bank loans you $1,000, they only have to have in deposits a percentage of that. My recollection is it's 10%. That recollection is at least a decade old, so it may be a different percentage these days. But they have to have a certain deposit to back that up, but it's not 100%. It's only a small percentage. Somebody knows the exact amount. Maybe they can correct me here. But let's say it's 10%. So they've got to have $100 in the bank to loan you $1,000. So they have $100. I give them $100 and put it in a savings deposit, and so they've got my $100 now, or in a CD. So now they can loan you $1,000. Where did the $900 come from? My $100 plus somebody's $900 makes the $1,000 that they loan you. Where does it come from? They manufactured it out of thin air. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. This is how one of the ways that the money supply increases, and it has been increasing because of this explosion in the housing market. Ben in Elgin, Illinois is on the line. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Tom.
Hey, Ben.
The thing that worries me as I see what's happening with Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, and as I watch the local housing scene around here, my family are all in the construction business, and I see firsthand what happens in new housing starts, et cetera. We're building lots of new housing, but we're also having a tremendous number of defaults. And what we're now seeing is that people who are going out into the marketplace here after new housing, instead of going for new housing,
Ben, hold that thought if you can. The bumper music there tells us we're coming up against a break. But Ben, hang on. We'll finish this right after the break. Talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit, no credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Sherwood Baylert is a member of Congress and, despite that, not a bad guy. He's a New York Republican who's been in the House for more than 20 years, and he loves the place. Fine. It's said that some people who muck manure for a living come to love the smell, so everyone to their own taste. But I thought Sherwood had been sniffing the congressional perfumes a bit too deeply when he recently declared that the House is, quote, the one institution in the whole wide world that's the personification of this great democracy of ours. Democracy? The great majority of Americans are factory workers, clerks, cab drivers, dirt farmers, teachers, Main Street merchants, programmers, waitresses, healthcare workers, and the like. How many of them serve in Congress, or are even marginally represented by those who serve there? About 70% of Americans make less than $50,000 a year. How many of our Congress critters go to Washington from such an income perspective? Indeed, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group reports that nearly half of the newly elected members of Congress are millionaires, which 99.5% of Americans are not. And if the House is so representative of our people, why didn't we get a pay raise 4 of the last 5 years as they gave themselves? Why don't we have top-flight health coverage paid for by taxpayers as they do? Why don't we get golden, no-worry pensions as they do? Phil Graham is one example of congressional apartness from the rest of America. The Texas senator, who just retired, opposed any government program to help regular folks while he slavishly served the corporate powers that financed his elections. He became a millionaire while in office. And now that he's out, we the people will send him a retirement check of $78,534 every year. He'll get more doing nothing than 80% of us will make working day in and day out. This is Jim Hightower saying, that's the personification of plutocracy, not of democracy.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. It's the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Bank-issued credit card debt has more than doubled since 1994, and eight times as many people have are going bankrupt today as during the Great Depression, when we only had half as many people in the country. So the population has doubled, but bankruptcies are up eightfold since the Great Depression. We're talking with Ben in Elgin, Illinois, about Freddie Mac. Ben, thank you for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, sorry to cut you off there before the demands of the business here. And it's a good thing. It keeps us going. So,
absolutely.
As you were saying.
Anyways, what I fear we're heading for here, now I'm seeing, first of all, the housing market in this area is dominated by these huge barn-sized houses that are far outsized for anybody's family that I know
of. McMansions, I think they were.
Yeah, they're like micro mansions and sitting on postage stamp lots. Okay? I don't know what the deal is. I'd much rather have a tiny house on a huge lot than a big house on a tiny lot, but that's just me. The thing I'm seeing is that as these houses are being repossessed by their lenders, and they're being resold. They're not being resold at the value at which they were evaluated.
Sure.
The banks are losing money on each and every foreclosure, and so the banks are becoming very reluctant to foreclose.
Right.
And as a result of their reluctance to foreclose, what they have done is they have pushed this problem out into the future where it's going to all go crunch at once. What
yes.
we are heading for in this country, I fear, is what Japan had a few years ago, a classic liquidity trap. The people of the United States have all expected their entire lives that the one investment that they could purchase and which would always increase in value and which they could count on for their retirement was their home.
And for that reason, people are borrowing up to their armpits against their homes. And
right.
then when the housing bubble pops, they're going to discover that they owe more than their home is worth.
And, in fact, that is, I think, the situation we are literally finding ourselves in right now. I think that we are at the beginning of the bursting of a liquidity bubble. And if things don't change radically in the underlying economy and put some of these people back to work, I think we're going to see housing deflation within the next 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, I suspect thank you, Ben. I appreciate your comments, and I agree with you. I frankly, though, I think that 4 to 6 months will not happen, and the reason why is because Greenspan and company are going to do absolutely everything they can to keep interest rates really low, to keep hyping this housing market at least until November 2004, because they want Shrub to be reelected. 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937 is our number, and Bill in Chicago is on the line. Bill, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Bill.
I was wondering if when this bubble bursts, if the party that's in power will get destroyed by it.
Well, it's interesting. We thought that would happen when the stock bubble burst, which didn't really fully start. You know, I mean, it was apparent that it was coming during the election, but it really didn't happen until after George was in power, and he's been able to do the Reagan Teflon dance around that, or so it seems. I mean, time will tell. I had thought when he first came in that he was going to go down like Herbert Hoover, and time will tell. What do you think, Bill?
I think it will, and I'm afraid that if the Democrats get get it in power the next election and all this breaks loose, that'll be the end of them.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's the Republicans have set up a train wreck here, and they've done it very intentionally. Grover Norquist has even been gleeful and public about the train wreck that they're setting up. And there's part of me that is very concerned that if a Democrat were to win in 04, for example, that this train wreck will happen in 05, and it could be a real mess. And who knows? Maybe that's part of the Republican strategy. I don't know. I'm not sure that they're thinking that far ahead. But, Bill, thanks for sharing your comments with us. I appreciate the call. U.S. national debt in 1980, 0.9 trillion, less than one. U.S. national debt today, 6.5 trillion. Stay with the Tom Hartman program. We'll return in just a few moments.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A string of summer storms ground up the ice packs of the Arctic Ocean last year. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. The ice that covers the Arctic Ocean has been shrinking for years as a result of slow changes in the polar climate. A lot of the ice disappeared last year as a result of highly unusual weather. By the end of last summer, there was less ice on the Arctic Ocean than anyone had seen in 25 years. Mark Serez is an atmospheric scientist at the University of Colorado in Boulder, and he monitors Arctic conditions for the National Snow and Ice Data Center. Serez says unusually warm temperatures hit the Arctic early in 2002, and they persisted into the summer. He says the warm weather started melting the ice earlier than usual. Then the ice broke up when severe storms raked the Arctic Ocean for months on end.
I've never seen conditions like this in the past. Normally, it is a stormy place in summer, but to have this stormy pattern persist for so long was something that I've never seen before. This fact that it was so stormy, which broke up the ice cover, coupled with the fact that it was so warm from the previous winter right through summer, you had basically a double whammy on the system. It was certainly a very unusual year.
Serez says last year was unusual, but these conditions might become more common. He says global warming is having a particularly strong effect on the Arctic, and it's likely to leave the sea ice thinner and more vulnerable.
If the ice pack becomes thinner, what happens is it will become much more susceptible to disruption by these strong wind events like we saw in the summer of 2002.
Serez says the disappearance of ice in the Arctic has the potential to change climates around the world. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one.
in the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network in our chat room. Lively discussion. Go to TomHartmanShow.com. Click on chat. It'll take you to the International Trade Forum. Click on the chat button there, and it'll drop you into the chat room. And Mo says, good show. And I said, thank you. And Braintrub said, good show after you stopped talking about California. Apparently, the folks in our chat room thought that was a boring topic. Well, here's, let me synthesize these two. If George Bush can claim that the economic disaster that has happened in the last 3 years with 2.5 million to 3 million jobs vanishing on his watch was because of Clinton and Gore, which he is claiming. He's saying, they set it up and I inherited it. Then why can't Gray Davis, the Democratic governor of California, claim that Pete Wilson, his Republican predecessor, set up the disaster that he has? Well, I don't know. And anyhow, I am not an expert on California politics. I don't live there. Haven't lived there in more than 30 years. So anybody there has thoughts on that, welcome to share them with us. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Money was probably first used in trade. This is from Utney Reader. This is from Making Friends with Your Finances by John Spade. Money was probably first used not in trade, but as a convenient substitute for sacrificial animals in religious ceremonies. And the first real currency went back to the 6th century B.C. In Turkey, Asia Minor. And we came up with this idea that currency was based on the value of silver or of gold. And you recall we've talked before on the program about how Rome experienced a terrible currency crisis about 200 A.D. Because they had deforested all of Italy. They'd cut down the forests to smelt silver and to fuel the baths and to fuel the empire. And it was a terrible crisis for them. And it drove up the cost of silver and changed the value of their currency. It was a real mess. So anyhow, we've got this money. But today's money is backed up by what? It's backed up by the faith and confidence that we have in our government. It's a very ephemeral thing. As Milton Friedman, the godfather of today's right-wing libertarians, according to Utney Reader, says, and I quote, our money has value, quote, because they know others will take it. The pieces of paper are valuable because everybody thinks they are. And that, of course, can change. It can change in both directions. So how do we handle our money? What are some of the ways to think about money and to think about handling money? Marjorie Kelly, for example, talked about, and this is the July-August issue, but really interesting stuff in here. She talks about instead of betting in the stock market, because when you put money into the stock market, you're not actually investing in a company. If you go buy 100 shares of IBM, did I say 100? I've been listening to George W. too much. When you go buy 100 shares of IBM, that money doesn't go to IBM. That money goes to somebody who just sold 100 shares of IBM. So it's really just money, you know, washing around in a market system. It's only if IBM does a new stock offering that they actually raise any money. So you're not actually investing in a company. You're buying a piece of the company, but you're buying it from somebody else. And so I guess you could say you're investing in the company, but your money is not going to that company. But if you want your money to go to something local, something that actually does grow, invest in a local organization, community-developed financial institutions, CDFIs, local small businesses. Here in Vermont, Chittenden Bank has a program where you can put money on deposit with them, and they use that money to support local small businesses in the state of Vermont. And, in fact, in some of their branches, even in the local community. So you know that your money is actually being used in your local community. I assume that other banks around the country have similar programs. And so this, and you know, they've got a reasonable rate of return right now. It's around 2.5%, but it's much of it is very often it's tax free where they're investing in community projects, schools and things. So that's one way. But I like the idea of investing in my own businesses. This is something that Louise and I have done since Well, since we first met, I mean, which was 33 or 34 years ago, we've been married 31 years. And when we met, I was working in radio in Lansing, Michigan, and I owned an electronics store, a TV repair, electronic repair business called the Electronics Joint in East Lansing. And over the years, we have started a number of businesses. We started a community for abused kids. We started a school. We started an advertising agency. We started a travel agency. We started an herbal tea company. And one of those businesses went down in flames. But other than that, the rest of them, we've built them up and sold them off and done okay by it. We're not incredibly rich, but we're certainly not broke. And I encourage this. And a lot of people go, well, how do I start a business? What do I do? How do you get into something? Like, how do you become an entrepreneur? All right, only rich people can do that. I can tell you, I have never done it because of my riches. I did not come from a wealthy family. And nobody handed me a bunch of cash and said, here, go out and start a business. In fact, the first business that I started, I funded with my unemployment check from having lost a job that I had with another business where I was just working. You know, that was actually, I think, that was 1969 or 70 or something. The last time, other than working in radio, when I actually worked for a paycheck. And so how do you make the decision about what to do with your own business, and how do you start it? Let's talk about entrepreneurship here. And, you know, I've written these 7 books on attention deficit disorder. I've got a new one coming out this fall called The Edison Gene, in which I'm actually proposing that ADHD is responsible for modern civilization. It'll be real interesting to see how this gets received. And we'll talk about this on a program as we get closer to the book coming out. I just proofread the galleys last night. But there was a study that was published in the Archives of General Psychiatry back in 1993, where they looked at a group of ADHD adults versus, quote, normal adults, end quote. And they had all these things. They had pointed out, you know, the ADHD adults had more problems in some areas, more divorces and things like that. But they found that only 5% of the control groups were entrepreneurs, whereas 20% of the ADHD adults were. I wrote a book called Focus Your Energy, which is now out in print, called ADHD Secrets of Success, Coaching Yourself to Fulfillment in the Business World. And the premise of the book is that there is a certain type of brain wiring necessary for starting your own business. And then in adults, we call this ADHD when it becomes not useful. But I think it has actually many useful dimensions. And that there is a way to use it to be successful and a way to use it to go down in flames. And that I have yet in my life to meet a successful entrepreneur who is not one of these what I call hunter personalities, who is not one of these kind of wild and crazy folks. You find them vastly overrepresented in the realm of entrepreneurs and in the realm of salespeople. They're all over the place. And they also, you know, they're pilots, they're police officers, they're private detectives. I mean, anywhere there's a lot of adrenaline and people are living on the edge, an enormous number of talk radio hosts. Wherever people are living on the edge, you find folks with this particular type of neurology. So how do these folks build a business? How do you do it? You usually hear about years of hard work for little money before a company reaches a point of cash flow, and that actually has been my experience. Every company that Louise and I have started, we have taken nothing from during the first year or year and a half or 2 years, and we've managed to fund that survival either by working two things at once, which we've done much of our lives, or by taking a little bit of money from the last one we sold and living on it while we're starting the next one. So number one, don't plan on getting cash quick. Be ready to put in a year or 2 years into something with nothing coming back. And then you'll see the return coming down the road. And that entrepreneurial stage of the company is where the entrepreneur really shines, because you're doing everything. You're doing the sales, you're doing the manufacturing, if it is. You're just, you know, running around like a chicken, doing everything all at once, multitasking, and that's the world in which entrepreneurs thrive. And that's a reflection, and also that's where you pull together your team and you make things happen. And my observation has been that entrepreneurs are great leaders and lousy managers. Now, it's interesting. Wilson Harrell, He died a couple of years ago from cancer in his late 70s, but 15 years ago or 10 years ago or so, I had a book on ADD that was published, and at the time we owned an advertising agency in Atlanta called the Newsletter Factory. It's still there. We sold it 7 years ago. And I was sitting in my office in Atlanta, and my secretary said, there's a guy here at Wilson Herald to see. I didn't know who he was. I didn't realize that he was the founder of Inc. magazine, the big business magazine, INC period, that he was the founder of the Formula 409 company, the cleaning products company that successfully took on Procter & Gamble, he's just an amazing guy. So anyhow, so he comes into my office, and he's got my book in his hand. And he sets it down on my desk, and he says, you've been following me for the last 40 years, haven't you? He was 70 years old at the time. And he said, I've always thought that entrepreneurs were different from everybody else, but now reading this book, I get it. And he wrote the afterword for my book, ADHD Secrets of Success. And his point, and my point, is that there are these very different qualities of leadership and management, and this is where people crash and burn in the business world, is not understanding that there's these two different types of qualities that actually have a different kind of brain, a different kind of neurology about them, a different kind of wiring. I call them hunters and farmers. There's lots of different terms that have been used for them, but basically that the hunters, the ADHD types or whatever, you know, the entrepreneurs are very good at leadership. They can rally people around. Yeah, let's go. Hey, grab the flag. Let's take this. We're going to start this business. We're going to build this thing up. But then the company reaches a point where it has 4, 5, 6, 7 employees, and it's starting to do well, and it's generating positive cash flow. And now you've got to make sure that all the paperwork is being done for the IRS, and you've got to, you know, make sure that the payroll is done, and you've got to do management, you know, stuff and reviews and performance reviews and all those kinds of things. And that's a skill set entrepreneurs just plain old flat out don't have. And that's when most entrepreneurs kill their own businesses. Henry Ford went bankrupt 7 times before he got it right, before he figured out to hire a good farmer to help him run his businesses. The same thing with Thomas Edison. You find that so there is a point in a company's life where the entrepreneur has to step back and say, okay, I've either got to bring somebody else in to manage this thing or sell it. And in fact, what we've done with most of our businesses is end up selling them to the people that we hired to manage them, which is really, you know, it's worked very well. And so then the question is, okay, how do you figure out what kind of business that you want to get into? What is the business that you want to start? If this is something that you're thinking about doing. And by the way, if anybody has any specific questions or cases or what, you know, feel free, 1-800-TALK, yes, I can take a shot at it. I remember when we were running the Community for Abused Kids in New Hampshire. We started that in 1978. This was about 1981, 82. And I was writing for a bunch of magazines, and I was kind of exiting out of there. And a friend of mine in New York, an old friend of mine, and I had this idea. Actually, I had this idea. I had a TRS-80 Model 3 computer, Radio Shack computer. And this was when they had first come out. And I knew enough about electronics from when I was a teenager as a ham radio operator. And that I knew that the picture tubes that they were using in these things were producing radiation, X-rays, that you could measure. And I also knew that there were companies that sold low-radiation picture tubes and that you could buy, you know, plastic with lead in it that you could put in the front of the things to reduce radiation. And there was a lot of press that the radiation was getting. So I contacted a company in Georgia and found that they sold these picture tubes. And we bought a few hundred of them at a wholesale, and we took out some ads in a magazine. And we started selling them. And my friend in New York, he did the shipping, and I did the advertising and the PR work and wrote articles about it for magazines and things. And we built this business. It was called Langley St. Clair Instrumentation Systems. And we built this business up and just on this one product. And the reason why we built this business was because I wanted one of these picture tubes for myself. The thing is that people come to me all the time and they say, I got a great idea for a business. You know, I think everybody will want to buy this. Quack, 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 quack. And then I say to them, would you buy it? And they go, well, no, I don't want one, but everybody else will want one. That's death. It has to be something that you really want. Louise and I, when we first moved to Atlanta, I was commuting every month to New York because that's where Jerry and I had this business, the LSI Systems, and I couldn't find a decent travel agent. And we had a friend from New Hampshire who had come down and visited, and he owned a travel agency up in New Hampshire. And I was complaining to him about how I couldn't find a decent travel agent in Atlanta. This was 1983. And we just started kicking around the idea and said, hey, let's start one. So we started Sprayberry Travel, International Wholesale Travel, and started it with nothing. We started with $15,000. And in 86, it was doing $6 million in business. That's when we sold it. It did $24 million in business last year. I don't have any piece of that anymore, but that company has done $250 million in revenue over the years. Just an example of what we identified was that there was this market niche of small entrepreneurs and small business people that nobody was serving in the travel industry. And so that's the only people that we served. So we're only going to service the salespeople, the small businesses, and we're going to do it in a very special way. We had a bunch of, in fact, we got on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. We had this frequent flyer program for them. So I'm not saying this by way of bragging. I'm trying to say, give you examples of, if you're going to do a business, meet your own need, meet a clear need with the business, and the business will then grow. It'll create something out there in the marketplace. So build a business you can use. Build a business that you feel is actually meeting your needs in life, that it's fulfilling your purpose. What's your personal destiny? How can you create a business that actually does good for people, for example, or that satisfies some deep need that you have? For us, the travel agency, it was fun. We travel all over the world. But also, we always wanted to build businesses that had integrity associated with them, that met people's needs and did so in a way that was good for the people working around them. This radio show, for example, is a business. So, you know, step by step, you build these things and you can create a living. Just, you know, one of those wild ideas. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program, talk radio for the rest of us. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen.
IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Jamming here on the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle, talking about how to earn a living. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. And Carl in Windsor, England is on the line, about entrepreneurs and ADD. Carl, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Carl.
Perfect timing. The Concorde just finished going over, so now I can hear.
Oh, good.
You know, you've got me pegged. Every time,
uh-huh.
You know, I love figuring things out. Once they're figured out, they're boring.
Uh-huh.
I start things. I figure them out. Often, I'm bored with them before I can finish them.
Yep.
You know, I figured out I had ADD a few years back, listening to public radio, and it was all the talk. And I was listening, like, my God, that really is me. And, having figured that out, it has helped a bit, but, you know, I just had to give a word of support and say, you know, that really is true. I'm going to have to check out your books, frankly. You had said something before. You described it as kinetic learning, and when I was looking at myself and figuring myself out, I realized, well, all those years back in grade school when the teachers criticized me for playing with the things on my desk, well, I sure was busy learning at the same time.
Right.
When I learned about ADD, I was driving a motor paper route at the time up in rural Michigan, and, God, I could listen to talk radio till there was no tomorrow and just soak it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And I now know if I'm doing housework or something, I'm fine. Talk radio occupies me, and I'm very happy. The minute
I'm not
doing something, I can't follow it.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, Carl. It's that multitasking thing, and I think it makes people successful when they understand it and they know how to use it, and it can be a powerful positive attribute. Thanks for
the
call, Carl. I appreciate it. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Hyperfocus is one dimension of it. I read about that in a book called ADD, A Different Perception. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that. I appreciate that comment. Jeff in Denver, stick around. We've got right after the news, we'll take your call. Thank you for calling, and thank you, Carl, for being on the line. This is the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for staying with us this far. For those stations that are running another hour, we'll be right back after the news. Otherwise, we'll see you tomorrow.
listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio Network News. I'm Monica DeSantis. Authorities in Waco, Texas are backtracking from earlier statements made about the nearly three-week-old case of a missing Baylor University basketball player. Just yesterday, police said that they were treating Patrick Dennehy as, quote, victim of a homicide. But today, Larry Holsey with the city of Waco stresses this is still being treated as a missing person case.
We're still treating this as if it's a missing persons, because we feel like there's still hope, and we're never going to give up hope until we find there is no hope on that particular part of it. So,
yesterday, Waco police and the FBI announced that they are investigating the 21-year-old's disappearance as a homicide, but today, authorities said there is a glimmer of hope that Dennehy will resurface. A former roommate and teammate of Dennehy has been questioned after he allegedly told a relative that he shot Dennehy in the head during an argument. Bishop Sean Patrick O'Malley of Palm Beach, Florida, has been named to succeed Cardinal Bernard Law as Archbishop of Boston.
I never thought in all these 20 years that I would ever come back as the Archbishop of this wonderful diocese.
O'Malley implemented screening procedures for employees and priests to prevent sexual abuse while he served as Bishop of Fall River, Massachusetts. Law resigned in December amid the Catholic Church's pre-sex abuse scandal. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas say they are both committed to carrying out the U.S.-backed roadmap for peace in the region. During remarks in Jerusalem ahead of a peace summit, Sharon said there is a new opportunity for the future and one that is filled with hope. On Wall Street this hour, the Dow was down 88 points, the Nasdaq down 16, and the S&P down 8 points.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get Maximum Strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum Strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
All right, folks, while we have a minute, let's go up to the chopper with Brad Paul, get a traffic update. Brad, what do you see up there?
Well, thanks a lot, Scott. Nothing you're going to want to hear about, unfortunately. You can expect major delays on the interstate. An overturned tractor trailer has got traffic backed up for about 25 miles. It's a real bad situation, Scott, but I do have good news.
What's that, Brad?
I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
President Bush is praising educators who are challenging mediocrity and embracing accountability. Promoting education reform at a public charter school in Washington, D.C., Bush promoted school voucher programs. That's a hot-button issue that will likely be debated in next year's presidential campaign. Bush didn't use the word voucher, though. He called it school choice.
I'm going to request $75 million from the Congress for what we call a choice incentive fund. This will be basically scholarships for students to be able to use the money as they see fit, public or private.
Opponents of vouchers say they tilt too heavily toward religious schools and drain much-needed money from public schools.
When I fell, my doctor didn't give me Tylenol.
she gave me Advil.
I was surprised. My doctor gave me Advil for my back.
Advil is my doctor's choice for muscle pain.
Truth is, doctors nationwide choose Advil most for tough muscle pain, strains, and sprains. Advil can give you longer-lasting relief than Tylenol on tough pain.
Now I always make sure I have Advil in the house.
Make the doctor's choice your choice. For better relief, advance to Advil.
The government is cracking down on those peddling weight loss products containing ephedra. Howard Beals with the FTC's Bureau of Consumer Protection says legal action has been brought against three direct marketers for making false and deceptive advertising claims.
For ephedra, we think you clearly can't substantiate claims that the product is 100% safe and poses no risk for anybody or has no side effects.
Settlements have been reached with Scottsdale, Arizona-based Health Laboratories of North America, Inc., and USA Pharmaceutical Sales of Palm Harbor, Florida. Those two defendants have agreed to refund money to those who bought their products. Actor-comedian Buddy Hackett has died. He is best remembered for his roles in the movies It's a Mad, 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 Mad World and The Love Bug. Hackett was found dead at his home in Malibu, California yesterday. He was 78 years old. There is no cause of death known at this time. I'm Monica DeSantis, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Anti-lock brakes, seat belts, and airbags, all ounces of prevention safety that equip today's cars. But when we come back, I'll tell you where there's a pound of cure, just in case you need it.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Today's technology-equipped cars are designed to prevent accidents. But when they happen, it's technology again, this time to the rescue. 1,000 cars in upstate New York are testing automated collision notification. This system uses in-vehicle sensors to detect a crash and then employs a satellite and cellular phone system to relate the severity and location of the accident directly to 911. After receiving this information, the operator then opens a voice line and dispatches emergency assistance. Wow, that sounds like 2 pounds of cure to me. I'm Bobby Likas, brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting across America on terrestrial radio stations from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, covering North and Central America from Alaska to the equator, and streaming audio on the internet with listeners all over the planet. RadioPower.org. 1.7 million members for a radio broadcasting station on the internet. Isn't that incredible? RadioPower.org and IEAmericaRadio.com, streaming live and archived at WhiteRoseSociety.org. This is the Tom Hartman radio program. If you'd like to drop into our chat room, go to TomHartmanShow.com and click on the chat button. It'll take you there. Got a fine bunch of folks there hanging out and carrying on a conversation. And Jeff in Denver has called 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937 to be on the program. Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. As someone
and thank you for waiting so long.
No problem. Hey, as someone who's been an entrepreneur all his adult life, I started my own business when I was 23 and never worked for anybody else. I can't agree with you more on the thing of you've got to create a product that you need to really, because your passion is behind it, first of all. I wrote software because my photo business needed software. My brother did the same thing, and we've been marketing photography business software for years. Right now, I do a lot of writing. I'm becoming more of a writer. Well, there has been no good writing tool out there for people who for writers. A word processor is not designed for writers. I'm writing software for that right now, and I'm loving it. It's, everybody who's tried it is very passionate, but it's because I needed the tool.
Yeah. Hey, be sure and let me know when you finish it.
I might give you a beta. Also, I'm one of those people who likes to sit up straight. Well, there's no office chair designed for someone who sits up straight. I'm building one right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. I need one of those, too.
Yeah, so it's all these things that I need, and it's like I'm having a hard time not working on them because I enjoy it so much because it's something, a tool that I need.
There you go. Like, that's great.
Joseph Campbell says, follow your bliss. Well, I'm doing the things I like, and all of a sudden, I'm making a lot more money than I've ever made.
That's the point. You can follow your bliss. You can do good stuff. You can do things that satisfy real needs, and you can do it in an ethical fashion, and you can make money at it. And there's nothing bad about that. That's why, you know, people hear me rail about corporations eating the planet, but I say I'm not anti-corporate. I mean, it's a great forum for doing these kind of things. Louise, who coaches ADHD entrepreneurs, it's her primary business is coaching entrepreneurs, has this concept of comfort zones. She says where she sees entrepreneurs crash and burn is when they get outside their comfort zone. That you, once your business starts growing beyond a certain point, you must either do one of three things. You must either hire the help, that is, hire somebody who has the skill set that you don't have beyond your comfort zone.
Yes.
Learn a new skill, which is a real difficulty, or keep the business small, or sell it, I guess is the fourth. And these are the real secrets of success.
Well, it's realize your niche and stay in it. Are you familiar with Bucky Fuller's term, adaptive generalist?
I am not.
He speaks of, you know, like there's that jack of all trades thing, you know, like a master of none has always been a derogatory term. But there are people, adaptive generalists, they're actually good at everything.
Yeah, and the Renaissance man is the old phrase.
And realizing that, yes, a lot of people need to realize what kind of person they are. And as you said, hire the people who fill in those niches. Rather than learning the other skill, is work with other people. Use them for their best thing. Each person fits their own position the best.
Right, and do it in a fair and honest and equitable way, and everybody wins. The best kind of games to play. Jeff, thank you very much for sharing that with us.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your calling in today. Thank you. And for moving along here, we had Neil, is it Neil Borowitz? Andy Borowitz, isn't it? It's Andy Borowitz on the program. Yeah, Andy Borowitz. He wrote, Who Moved My Soap? The Insider's Guide to CEO Survival in Prison. And his website is Borowitz, Borowitz, report.com. And he does this wonderful, absolutely wonderful news stories on there. And I this is just so cool. And I have to read it to you. And because it actually, from there, I'm going to segue into our topic for this hour. In fact, first, let me set this up with the quote of the day. This is from Harry S. Truman. He says, There is no more fundamental axiom of American freedom than the familiar statement, In a free country, we punish men for crimes they commit, but never for the opinions they have. Now, Andy Borowitz, the headline is, Small children may be traumatized by Ann Coulter, psychologist says. And a few coping strategies for exposure to banshee-like pundit. And here's the body of the story. Mommy, make the scary lady go away! Those are the tearful words of Kaylee Brodkin, 7 of Gary, Indiana, who for the last 5 nights has been awoken in the middle of the night by terrifying nightmares. Nightmares featuring television pundit author Ann Coulter. With the ubiquitous Ms. Coulter currently on a national book tour, little Kaylee's sad story is far from an isolated occurrence. More and more these days, we are seeing small children who have been traumatized by Ann Coulter, says Dr. Harmon Densmore, chief clinical psychologist at the Chartwell Children's Institute, based at the University of Minnesota. While Dr. Densmore urges patients to limit their children's exposure to the banshee-like pundit, whose intemperate polemics flatten everyone and everything in their path, he acknowledges that keeping children away from Ms. Coulter entirely may be next to impossible. Quote, At any given moment in the cable television universe, Ann Coulter is on the air somewhere, end quote, Dr. Densmore says. This makes a parent's job already hard, even harder. Little Kaylee, who is now working with a counselor to conquer her fear of Ann Coulter, attends role-playing therapy sessions twice a week in which she uses a dragon puppet to bite the head off an Ann Coulter puppet. While Kaylee's mother, Diane, 38, says that the therapy has had some success, the bad dreams about Ann Coulter persist with no end in sight. Quote, I'd like to hug Kaylee and tell her that Ann Coulter doesn't exist, but you can't lie to your kids, Miss Brodkin says. Children today have to deal with a lot of scary things, and Ann Coulter, unfortunately, is one of them. End of the story from BorowitzReport.com. And moving right along with that, crackpot conservatism, Richard Cohen, this in today's Washington Post. Actually, let me get back to that. First, I just want to share with you this review. This is from Spin Sanity, spinsanity.org, spinsanity.org. A column, Screed with Treason Ann Coulter once again defines a new low in America's political debate, by Brendan Nyhan, N-Y-H-A-N. This was written a couple of days ago, or published a couple of days ago. And by the way, if you'd like to be on the program today, the number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. In this hour, we're going to talk about this, and we're going to get into some news stuff. So any thoughts or comments that you have are more than welcome on pretty much any topic here. Liberals are indiscriminately denounced as a group as terrorists or a cult who, quote, hate democracy, end quote. Slander, her bestseller from last year, quickly became notorious for its errors and distortions of the facts, which we detailed in our examination of the book. This from this piece by Brendan Nyhan. Last year, I just read that. From deceptive footnotes to mischaracterized quotes to outright lies, Coulter broke all standards of reasonable political debate in her quest to paint a picture of a media that is unambiguously hostile to conservatives. She says the media is hostile to conservatives. In Treason, her new book, similar techniques are employed with aplomb. Quote, liberals have a preternatural gift for striking a position on the side of treason, she writes on the first page of the book. Whenever the nation is under attack from within or without, liberals side with the enemy. This is their essence, says Ann Coulter, end quote. At times, Coulter portrays liberals and the left as engaged in a grand conspiracy to destroy the United States. Quote, while undermining victory in the Cold War, liberals dedicated themselves to mainstreaming communist ideals at home. Betraying the manifest national defense objectives of the country is only part of the left's treasonous scheme. They aim to destroy America from the inside with their relentless attacks on morality and the truth. From page 289 of Ann Coulter's book. Also, he points out that, he says, at others, she instead insinuates that disagreeing with her about U.S. policy towards various hostile foreign countries or taking any action that could be construed as favorable to those countries' interests is the equivalent of treasonous support for those countries. Here are two classic examples. Number one, from page 171. As a rule of thumb, Democrats opposed anything opposed by their cherished Soviet Union. The Soviet Union did not like the idea of a militarily strong American, neither did the Democrats. And from page 177, Democrats always had mysterious objections and secret better ways, which they would never tell us. Then they would vote whichever way would best advance communist interests. End quote. She goes on to say, Ann Coulter, whether they are defending the Soviet Union or bleating for Saddam Hussein, liberals are always against America. They are either traitors or idiots. And on the matter of America's self-preservation, the difference is irrelevant. 50 years of treason hasn't slowed them down. That's from page 16. And as the Spin Sanity review of her book goes on, she gets into this whole thing about Joe McCarthy was actually the victim in the House Un-American Activities Committee hearings, the alcoholic, vitriolic Joe McCarthy. She says, and I quote from page 20, springing naturally to their traitorous positions, the adversary press vilified HUAC, the House Un-American Activities Committee, for persecuting the charming State Department official. That was Elder Hiss. On page 30, she says, by screaming about McCarthyism, liberals would force the nation to move on. And she puts move on in quotes. Maybe because of moveon.org, right? By screaming about McCarthyism, liberals would force the nation to, quote, move on, end quote, from the subject of their own treachery. And on page 71, she's here defending Joe McCarthy. She says, McCarthy's fundamental thesis was absolutely correct. The Democratic Party had fallen to the allures of totalitarianism. And on page 104, she says that Joe McCarthy was the victim, not the bad guy. She says, and I quote, the primary victim of outrageous persecution during the McCarthy era was McCarthy. Liberals hid their traitorous conduct by making McCarthy the issue. They did to McCarthy everything they falsely accused him of doing to them. And it just goes on and on and on. It's just, you know, she calls Molly Ivins from the Traitor Lobby's Women Auxiliary. It's if you criticize the president, you are helping to erode the nation's resolve. This, in her opinion, is treason.
See you along the way.
All Super 8 motels are individually owned and operated.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
All the world over strong, easy to see. People everywhere just want to be free. Let them free and listen, that's the way it should be. Peace in the valley, people got to be free.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Live coast to coast, border to border. Even in the depths of outer space, it's so strange to think, you know, when you call in to 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937, your voice is vibrating little carbon granules or a little electromagnet in the microphone mouthpiece, which is sending a little wave over the telephone lines to Detroit to the studio, which is beaming it up to a satellite, which is beaming it down to radio stations all across the country, the ABC Star Guide 3 satellite, or beaming it down on the Sirius radio satellite into cars and trucks all over. And their speakers are vibrating. Isn't it just amazing technology? I'm just in awe of it all. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number to call if you'd like to be on the program for a little while here. I don't want to spend too much time with it, but I do think it's important to talk about there's a reason why, and I'm going to get into that in just a second. Steve in Portland, Oregon is on the line. Steve, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
I appreciate your show very much.
Thank you, Steve.
I want to say McCarthy's methods during the height of his infamy were consistent with what he had done throughout his political career.
Sure.
His first race for the
Tail
U.S.
Gunner
House.
Joe.
Pardon?
Tail Gunner Joe. He had campaign photos taken in the as the tail gunner in an airplane when he had never actually been a tail gunner.
I didn't know that. Other facts about him. He was originally a Democrat, but he couldn't get anybody back in for office, so he switched to the GOP. His first race for the U.S. House, he lied about his opponent's age. He was actually 66. He said his opponent was 73 and accused him of senility. And then when he ran against La Follette Jr. for the Senate, he criticized La Follette Jr. for not enlisting in World War II. And La Follette had been 46 years old in 1941.
Yeah.
So he was pretty much a sleazebag all the way along.
Yeah, and it's well documented. And toward the end there, he was also going down in a pretty bad alcoholic haze. But you know, the thing that I think is important, Steve, is for people to realize is that, like with Ann Coulter's book, that and Joe McCarthy for that matter, I think as much of an opportunist as McCarthy was, I think that he also probably believed an awful lot of what he said. I mean, I remember back when I was 13, 14 years old, I read None Dare Call It Treason by John Stormer, when I was into Barry Goldwater and the Republicans and the John Birch Society and stuff, and I was, you know, I was right there, and I read that book, and I thought, oh my God, the communists have taken over America, and you know, now I look back at it. In fact, I've got a copy of it around here. I was looking at it last year, and it's almost funny, you know, reading it. But it sure wasn't funny then, and a lot of people took it seriously. A lot of people still take John Stormer seriously, and he was saying the same stuff that McCarthy was. So I think it's important that we realize that there are people saying these things, and there are other people who believe them.
Well, she's number five on the bestseller list, so I think a voice needs to be raised against what she's putting out there these days, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I think she'll become number one, too. Steve, thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate your call. Ann Coulter goes on in her book to suggest that Jimmy Carter's acceptance of the Nobel Peace Prize constitutes treason under the definition in the Constitution. I mean, and how does she do that? Well, she does it the same way she did in her previous book, as Spinsanity says in their review, a series of deceptive practices in quoting people and sourcing her claims. Most commonly, she distorts the authorship of articles she's citing. For example, if I write a piece that gets published in the New York Times and it says, you know, by Tom, if there's a byline on it, by Tom Hartman, then it's not the New York Times saying it. It's me in the New York Times. On the other hand, if the New York Times publishes an editorial, then that's the New York Times saying it. So there's this huge difference between somebody writing an op-ed piece, which could be anything from the right-wing views of William Sapphire to the left-wing of Paul Krugman, or it could be a reporter individually saying it, and the institution of the New York Times, the Washington Post saying it. Now, Coulter continuously throughout her book says, according to the Times, when she's actually quoting a book review, the Washington Post said, the New York Times reported, and it goes on and on all these times, when in fact it wasn't the publication saying those things. It was simply somebody whose opinion was published in that publication. You're listening to the Tom Hartman program, where we still respect we the people. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network.
Thank you. For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton.
Lawyers from a union-busting U.S. law firm are busy rewriting labor laws in Afghanistan to ban effective union organizing there. The firm, Deckert LLP, boasts on its website of its record in helping clients, quote, maintain a union-free environment. It's one of a two-pronged attack on workers' rights in Afghanistan. The other comes from the World Bank, which is reportedly pushing for a 10% cut in Afghanistan's minimum wage as a condition for World Bank investment in the country.
Union leaders staged a rally outside the U.S. Department of Labor yesterday, protesting plans by the Bush administration to roll back the number of workers entitled to overtime pay under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Judy Conte is with the Employment Justice Center.
This is not a boon for low-wage workers. It is not a boon for working Americans. Overtime is going to be shifted from low-wage workers who depend on that overtime for their paychecks, and it's going to be shifted to all of a sudden these 8 million people who are going to lose their overtime, and in addition with that, work more hours to keep them away from their homes and their families and their other lives.
The Economic Policy Institute estimates a net 8 million American workers would lose their right to the 40-hour work week if the changes are adopted.
It's being called the worst defeat in 50 years for IG Metall, Germany's largest industrial trade union. The union ended a four-week strike of East German auto parts factories this weekend. The goal was to get East German workers a 35-hour work week like their counterparts in the West have, but factory owners wouldn't budge on the issue, and support of the union from the German public, already suffering through a third year of overall economic malaise, declined rapidly, especially after auto assembly factories in the West began closing for lack of parts. Union leaders now say they will try to negotiate shorter work weeks on a company-by-company basis.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tell it all, brother, before we fall. Tell it all, brothers and sisters. Tell it all.
And welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. Ann Coulter goes on to... The reason why I'm going on about this, because I write books and I have them out there, and I know the way the publicity game is played. If I can get talk show hosts to rant and rave about how terrible one of my books is, it's going to sell books. And so I realize going into this that there is a certain... danger, shall we say. You know, as P.T. Barnum said, I don't care what they say about me as long as they spell my name right. There's a certain danger in giving publicity to this. On the other hand, I think that when you're confronted with something that is truly dangerous, it's important to speak truth about it. I think if people had spoken up when Mein Kampf was published and said, you read Mein Kampf and read what he says in there about the Jews... And Hitler was unambiguous. He was explicit. He called them traitors. He said that they were committing treason. They were not good Germans. And nobody spoke out. And so I feel that it's important to speak out. Now, in our chat room, it's interesting that there's been a discussion here about, are you going to interview Ann Coulter? And I went in and I said, no, I don't think so. She doesn't, first of all, really... you know, she has a rant and you ask really hard questions and she just laughs and ignores them. So it wouldn't be much point in it. And somebody else said, well, she should be on the Man Show, interviewed on the Man Show. Strange. Okay. That would be interesting. In one particularly dishonest case, this is from spinsanity.org, their review of her book, Treason, her new book. In one particularly dishonest case, Ann Coulter claims that the New York Times, quote, reminded readers that Reagan was a, and then she puts quotes, cowboy ready to shoot at the drop of a hat, end quote, after the invasion of Grenada. However, the cowboy quote, now see, she's saying this to make people think that the New York Times is trying to tell its readers that in the opinion of the New York Times, Ronald Reagan was a cowboy ready to shoot at the drop of the hat. In other words, she is slandering or putting down or accusing the New York Times. The actual cowboy quote, however, was in a Week in Review story that was run in the New York Times, in which a Reagan administration official said in the New York Times, quote, I suppose our biggest minus from the Grenada operation is that there is now a resurgence of the caricature of Ronald Reagan, the cowboy, ready to shoot at the drop of a hat, end quote, from a Reagan administration official. And Coulter then takes that, a piece of that quote, claims that the New York Times said it, rather than that the New York Times reported that a Reagan administration official said it, and uses that to imply that the Times is part of the grand liberal conspiracy of traitors. She goes on to denounce, again reading from the Spinsanity.org column, Coulter goes on to denounce the New York Times for putting terms like, quote, evil empire, end quote, in quotes, which she claims, quote, expressed contempt for the idea of winning the Cold War, end quote. However, the article she cites as proof of the use of quotation marks is actually directly quoting Ronald Reagan saying the term. So, of course, it should be in quotes. Later, she condemns the Times for its response to Reagan's invasion of Grenada. It just goes on and on. Coulter misrepresents a personal attack against her as one on all, quote, people who support ethnic profiling of airline passengers, end quote, on page 261, saying that Senator Richard Durbin, the Democrat of Illinois, called such people, quote, troglodytes crawling on their bellies in the mud at a far-right wing militia training camp in Idaho, end quote. Now, she says that this congressman said that about everybody who calls for profiling of airplane passengers based on their ethnicity. In fact, this review points out, Congressman Durbin wrote the following letter to a Springfield, Illinois newspaper. Notice how Coulter not only selectively took these things out, she changed it from singular to plural to make it seem like this guy was talking about all of her readers, not just her. He wrote, and I quote, I often wonder whether Ann Coulter's political views are just a pose. Having seen her on television, she's bright, witty, and appears to be the product of a good education and good grooming. There's nothing about her which suggests she has spent any time crawling on her belly in the mud at a right-wing militia training camp in Idaho. But when she opens her mouth or logs on her computer, Dr. Coulter is transformed into a political creature that could take Pat Buchanan's breath away. End quote. They go on to cite the actual factual claims, which are indisputably false in the book. And it just goes on and on. They've done just a marvelous job of just taking this thing apart. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number if you'd like to be on the program today. 1-800-825-5937. For the Tom Hartman program, it's 21 minutes before the hour, and Enrique in Santa Fe is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Hey. Enrique.
I was just going to talk a little bit about that Joe McCarthy thing, because I was watching a History Channel special on the McCarthy era, and that was about 3 years ago, and it was very interesting that, you know, Joe McCarthy wanted to run for president, and he figured that in order to win, what he would have to do is sort of neutralize the California vote. And so what he did is he got a copy of a list of Democratic contributors in the state of California. And it was about 100,000 people long. But what he did is he took about 60,000 names off of that, and then he had them investigated as Soviet agents. And, you know, part of those people were like the Hollywood 10. You know, what he figured is if he could get the Democratic, you know, campaign contributions wiped out from California, especially in the Hollywood area, you know, he would win for president.
So it's political calculus.
Yeah. So,
amazing.
You know, and it's very similar to what was done with Watergate and CREEP, the committee to reelect the president. You know, just get in there and do your dirty tricks. And
it sounds like Ann Coulter's the shock troops for the same thing now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's this, yeah. Enrique, thank you very much for sharing that with us. I appreciate your call. Tim in Hartford, Connecticut has called 1-800-TALK-YES. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, you know, I find this Ann Coulter thing just absolutely fascinating, and I'll tell you a couple of reasons why. I think there's definitely a market for just the scream the most outrageous thing in the world that you can say, and it'll please some people.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Who want to just absolutely believe the worst things about people, no matter what the facts are. I think that's a little bit true, you know, left and right, as far as, you know, everybody believing that this guy is a Nazi or that guy is a... doesn't have the best intentions for this country. And I find her, you know, her particular screech, and I really call it that, you know, just so upsetting when I, you know, see the Berkowitzes and all these other people. David Horowitz, not the consumer advocate, but the other guy that, you know, used to be a Red and now is just running around saying, you know, really outlandish things. And, you know, part of it is showmanship, because I think there certainly is a market for this kind of thing, especially on the cable TV shows.
Well, and as David Brock pointed out, if you have good writing skills, or you are articulate, or you have something that will draw attention to you in a way that will make you a media star, and you are willing to suck up to the right in extremis, they will pay you very well. The people who write for the right-wing magazines, by and large, are paid more per person than the entire budget for the nation, for example. I mean, it's just amazing,
you look
the
at,
money.
Look at the, you know, whether you call someone a FEMA Nazi or whatever, you know, you've got to do yourself a national show. Whether
right.
it's the, you know, the outrageous Michael Savages and all this sort of stuff. I think, you know, the underbelling of I think it's all still the classic white male who, you know, hates the government kind of thing that is still out there. And it plays into the idea that these are the people who are, you know, secretly destroying. And the other factor, of course, is that a lot of people, 30 and under or whatever, really don't remember the McCarthy era, who the major players were, and what that all was about.
Right. So
the history books are, you know, there you would actually start, you know, teaching that sort of thing in, you know, a modern high school class where you're presenting everything from 1865 to present in, you know, 9 weeks or less. You're certainly not going to, what are you going to get, 15 minutes on Joe McCarthy and that's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so what are we supposed to do about this, as far as, I think we just have to educate people all across the country as to what the real facts about this kind of thing. And just, you know, I criticize the right, but I don't necessarily call them traitors. That's the most disturbing thing to me.
Well, this is what pushes my button, too. Tim, thanks for bringing this up, and I appreciate your call. This quote from Harry Truman, our quote for the day: there is no more fundamental axiom of American freedom than the familiar statement, in a free country, we punish men for crimes they commit, but never for the opinions they have. And this is going off in another direction. And when Louise first shared this with me yesterday, and she said, I think we ought to do a show on this, And I said, oh, no, you know, another right-wing nutcase. And then I started digging into what was in the book, and I thought, you know, this so reminds me of Mein Kampf. I lived in Germany for a year, and I have seen the corrosive effect of finger-pointing at another group of people and calling them evil. at how incredibly destructive that is. And today, in the Washington Post, Richard Cohen writes a piece. He says, in some ways, the nutso American brand of arch-conservatism mirrors traditional anti-Semitism. He's talking about Ann Coulter's new book. Jew haters proclaim that Jews control the media, international finance, and almost everything else of importance, but somehow Jews have accumulated a 2,000-year history of expulsions, pogroms, and finally the mass murder of the Holocaust. It is the same with American liberals. They control everything, and yet somehow the White House, both houses of Congress, and the exception, and with the exception of several delis in New York, the entire business community are in the hands of conservatives. It's hard to figure. Pointing out that there, he's drawing a parallel, you know, we'll get on with that. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937, and Michael in Santa Fe is on the line. Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, Michael.
I had an idea for a little cartoon, but I don't draw, so I'll just try to illustrate it on the air. But it's a sign that says, welcome to the information highway. In the background, a sign says, please don't litter. And, I mean, I feel as if, you know, all the pollution we have in the air, in the water, is also reflected in our information. We have so much information all over the world. And opinion, fact, truth, it's all just lumped into this one big cesspool of information along with advertising and everything else.
And it's not just—it's not just the internet, Michael. This is—I mean, this
sure.
is the media itself, and it has been for hundreds of years.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
even in conversation amongst people, at a coffee house or whatever. I mean, our information has been completely polluted.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Michael, for sharing that. And,
yep.
And I you have to wonder about the truth of things. For example, during the Telecommunications Act of 1996 debate, the majority of Americans were concerned with or opposed to that being passed. All the newspapers editorialized in favor of it. Same thing with NAFTA and GATT. I conspiracy theories are a dime a dozen. I'm not going to toss another one out there right at this moment anyway. But this Washington Post article, a Washington Post review of Ann Coulter's book, Crackpot Conservatism, by Richard Cohen in today's newspaper, he says this is also good news for liberals. It suggests that the right, at least the hard right, has finally dumbed out. And then he talks about how, you know, she's following the same logic that Hitler did. And he said, it has not, as Coulter, and Coulter, as she herself must now recognize, is nothing more than the Bush administration's useful idiot. He wraps up Coulter's book contains the usual name-calling, the usual spinning of the facts, the occasional racist insult. McCarthy, for instance, took enemy fire from savage oriental beasts, end quote, in World War II, and it revives the charge from the 1950s that the Democratic Party is the party of traitors. So this is the real text or subtext to Ann Coulter's book, is that Democrats are traitors. And he wraps up his review by saying, the inevitable logic... Oh, quoting from her. This is a quote from Ann Coulter. The inevitable logic of the liberal position is to be for treason, end quote, Coulter says in the last sentence of her book. When it reaches the bestseller list, as it almost surely will, actually it already has, we will know that the conservative movement has finally cracked up. Happy days are here again. Well, Mr. Cohen, I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. I hope that by pushing this thing over the top and blowing it out in a way that just makes it so obvious to everybody that this will be the end. Dave in Silverdale, Washington is on the line. Dave, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Dave.
Tom, I wanted to ask you, are you familiar with a book by Judith Butler called Excitable Speech?
I'm not.
It's an interesting book. It's a very heavy academic type read, but, I mean, she basically talks about when is speech not speech? When does it cross over and become declarative? It becomes action in essence.
Right.
And, you know, we all know...
Like yelling fire in a theater.
Exactly. That's the classic analogy. But, you know, the Supreme Court, in essence, when they speak, it's declarative. It becomes immediate action. It has the
right
force and power of action. And sometimes when we utter racial slurs, it has the force and power of immediate action because it creates a real threat. And I'm wondering, when is someone like Coulter charging people like me and you with treason? When does that cross over from free speech and become basically a call to action? Which, is, I mean, she's trying to incite social action, and quite frankly, you know, what are they going to do with us treasonous liberals?
Well, I think it has, and I think it's a very dangerous thing. I really do. Now, I also defend her right to say it, but I think that it's real important that we all acknowledge how dangerous this is. Dave, thank you for the call. Thanks for your comments. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
James Carville here again. By now you know InPhone is great for phone numbers, driving directions, movie times, but it does a whole lot more. When you call InPhone, it costs just 89 cents for the first 15 minutes. Every minute after that is just 5 cents. Pretty good, huh? So, I ask you, is InPhone enhanced directory assistance, or is it super cheap long distance with a personal operator? 888-411-1111. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now. Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Attention all plaintiffs. Personal injury, negligence, premises liability, medical malpractice, product liability, commercial cases. Receive up to $50,000 instant cash assistance. Call now, 800-586-5493. Get cash now on your pending lawsuit. No risk, no payments. We only collect when your case is settled. Call 800-586-5493. Express lawsuit funding can help you. 800-586-5493.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
you know, it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Welcome back. 1-800-TALK-YES is the number. The last 3 minutes of the program here today. John in Minneapolis is on the line. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, John. Thanks for calling.
I was listening to your discussion, and I'm reminded of a comment that John Ashcroft made shortly after 911 and the some of the discussion on the Homeland Security, and people were criticizing Bush, and he intimated to the Senate, I believe it was, that anybody who criticized the Bush could be guilty of treason. That was a comment that Hartman made, and there was a, along those lines, there was a, an article and opinion in the local paper up here, the Star Tribune, about the Republicans trying to set up the one-party rule. The amount of money that Bush is raising, the what they're doing with the courts, the way they're shutting out lobbyists, if they're friendly to the Democrats at all.
Yes, just, the K Street Project.
It's right into it. It's very scary.
Yeah, it's... David, have you read David Brock's book, Blinded by the Right, John?
No, I have not yet.
It's really worth getting and reading. It's a little dry at times. It's the kind of book, though, that you can skip through. And it's right there, and there really is a vast right wing conspiracy, and the scary thing is that they really believe that they're doing the right thing. I believe that they really believe that they're doing the right thing. I really think that they see folks like us as either deluded or evil or the enemy. That people who think that there should be fairness and equality in America just don't get it. That we really should have a two-class society, the very rich and everybody else, that they know better, that God has bestowed gifts upon them because they're better people, you know, the whole Calvinist notion. It's real.
Well, Bush and his crew in Washington scare me far more than Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein ever could. I believe very much in what our country is founded on. I'm a vet. And, we fought for our freedoms, and they're being taken away tremendously. And this call, calling liberals treasoners is just frightening because it's right.
It's wrong. Well said, John. I got to cut you off there because it's the end of the show. But thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. Tune back in tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thanks for joining us today.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.